Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
And another thing that could fall through the cracks is your student loans. So if you are going to borrow money or you already have, what are the rules of the game and how have they changed? Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm is in our studio again. You hear her frequently on WGN. Once in a while, she pops up on David Hochberg's show on Saturdays. Ray, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So what's new with you?
Oh, nothing. Just, I guess, like everyone else, trying to prepare for this new lockdown. But for us, pretty much nothing changes. We're still operating the same way we always were, pretty much.
Your phone still rings. I guess a lot of this you could do over the phone or a Zoom call, right?
We do pretty much everything remotely. Some people still want to come into the office. But everything we do, because we have clients nationally, we do everything over Zoom or phone conference calls.
So there is forbearance in place right now, meaning you do not have to pay on your student loans, right?
Well, so pretty much. And people just have to know what the difference is between their federal student loans and their private student loans. So for federal student loans, if you owe money to the Department of Ed and you have a servicer, Navient, Mohila, Nelnet, those are a few of them. Fed loans is another big one. If those guys are your servicer and you know that the lender is the Department of Education, then your federal loans are in COVID forbearance, which means they're kind of in like a frozen state where no interest is accruing and you don't need to make any payments. And that's all the way through December 31st of this year.
The principal, though, will still be owed. It's not like they're forgiving that. They're just delaying it. It goes on the back end.
That's correct.
Interest-free.
Right.
Have people been making payments then anyway because they want to get those out of the way? Or is mostly people saying, fine, I'm not going
to
pay?
I mean, we're advising people to take advantage of it. It's a tough time right now. And if you have, you know, if your budget is tight, I would say, you know, this is a really nice break from making those student loan payments. And you might as well take advantage of it. There's no downside to it.
312-981-7200 is my phone number. Call right now, 312-981-7200, if you have a question about your student loan or one that you're thinking about getting for somebody. And I'm interested, did you stop paying on your student loan? What did you do with the money? Maybe, in fact, you were strapped enough that you didn't do anything with the money because it was money you didn't have. That's the idea. But some folks did have the money, and I guess they could have paid on their car loan or put it in the bank and eventually have it when the rest of this comes due.
Yeah.
December 31st, they're not going to extend forbearance?
It doesn't look like they're going to extend it right now. I haven't seen any proposals to extend. And, you know, everybody's talking about what is the new COVID relief package going to look like and are they going to provide something in there for student loans? And there are a couple different proposals. One from the Republicans was about $25 billion in student loans forgiven, which doesn't amount to much per person. It's only about $600 per borrower. But Democrats were proposing about $10,000 per borrower. However, then they want to increase the payment plan formula so that you actually wind up paying back more when you do start making the payments. So
really?
They pretty much get that money back.
Well, so we don't even have a stimulus package 2.0.
Not yet.
And this doesn't sound to you like it's going to be the priority that it was the first time.
Well, I don't know. I think that they're going to try to get something through. The question, I think, is just whether, for me, it's what that's going to look like in terms of our federal student loans.
Well, wasn't a campaign plank for several of the Democrats that we want student loan forgiveness, not forbearance. We want just to write it off or a portion of it off.
That's how it was phrased. But when you really dig deep into everybody's proposal, so during the primaries, I looked at everybody's proposals. I think Elizabeth Warren had the most generous forgiveness proposal. But Biden's proposal is basically $10,000 per person. And for some people, that really would make a big difference, essentially, if you only have $10,000 or $20,000 left. But for people who have a big loan left, it's really not going to make a difference.
Well, when Biden becomes president and his administration gets to do whatever an administration gets to do, will that require congressional approval?
That's a good question. So generally speaking, yes. I mean, only the legislators have the authorization to make changes to legislation, right? But there is an argument that he could do it with an executive order. The question is whether or not the Republicans in the Senate might sue in order to make that in order to overturn that executive order or say that it's not legal because it's outside the legislative process. So basically, I think, in my opinion, executive orders, you can kind of tinker around the edges in terms of the legislation, but you can't change the legislation. So it's a difficult road, I think, for the Biden administration.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me like maybe the stimulus or the $600 supplement for unemployment. Some people need it and some people don't. So a $10,000 forgiveness because you've lost your job or you're underemployed is meaningful and maybe noteworthy, maybe worthwhile. But for other people, it's not.
Right.
So, you know, just blanket saying to everybody that owes on a student loan, you don't owe $10,000. However, you know, lucky you, but I'm not sure that that's good policy. That money has to go somewhere. It's owed to, if nothing else, the government, right?
Right. And that's why there's not a lot of momentum pushing this agenda to forgive student loans, because I think that they really don't want to lose that much money coming into the federal government.
There was an article in the New York Times about some of this. I want you to talk about that, and we'll pick up some phone calls. Catherine said she's been paying on that loan. Now, tell me why, Catherine, in a minute. 312-981-7200. The New York Times had an article about bankruptcies. Wasn't that it?
Yes, basically how bankruptcies and student loans go together and whether or not they do go together. So my opinion is that, because I practice in bankruptcy law as well as student loan law, and it's rare that a bankruptcy is the answer to your student loan issue. Especially if you have federal student loans, the bar to get your student loans discharged in a bankruptcy is very high. And that also applies to if you have private student loans. However, there are exceptions and there are different types of loans that fit within this exception in the bankruptcy statute where it makes sense for us to file a bankruptcy and get rid of them if we can with an adversary.
But it has to be a very dire situation for you to get that, right?
Well, that is under one of the tests, which is kind of this undue hardship test. So that if we can prove that you're in such a dire situation that you'll never, ever be able to repay these loans, that's pretty rare, although the courts are becoming more flexible on that too. But there's another exception to the rule where if your loans are not federal loans, but they're private loans, but the school that you went to was maybe a foreign school, we can, under that exception, get the loans discharged.
Do you have any good examples lately of somebody who walked into your office with X amount of debt and you were able to rearrange it for them to a new level?
We did. So we had a person who went to medical school in Aruba, and this is the case more often than you would think. A lot of our doctors and nurses in emergency rooms throughout Chicago have gone to schools abroad for their medical degree. And if the school was not entitled to funding from the Department of Ed at the time when the private loans were dispersed, then we can file a Chapter 7 and actually discharge all of the loans. So we had a guy where we got rid of his $120,000 in private student loans because he went to this foreign school.
But then he declares Chapter 7.
He did. He declared a Chapter 7, but in that case, it really is worth it because essentially he went to medical school for free.
And now he has to live with the consequences of Chapter 7 on his record. What does that mean?
Well, it does stay on your credit report for 10 years, but it doesn't mean that you can't get credit. It just means that some people work with you, some people won't. However, you can really rebuild your credit pretty quickly these days. I would say within 6 months to a year, you can start rebuilding your credit pretty well, and you're guaranteed an FHA-backed mortgage 2 years after a bankruptcy. So all of these things will kind of even out.
That's interesting. So
yeah.
You've declared bankruptcy, but we want to enable you to get back on your feet. They promised that after 2 years, you still can borrow money.
Yes.
Let's pick up a couple of phone lines with Ray Kaplan. Catherine, you're on WGN, and you have a student loan?
I don't, but we have student loans for my kids, federal loans.
Yep.
And I was fortunate that both my kids still are working through COVID. So they are still paying on their federal loans, because right now, with it being interest-free and their automatic payment that's set up, all of their payment is going to the principal instead of, you know, two-thirds of it going to interest.
What's your thought about that? That's interesting.
I think that it depends on the person and the situation. If you can afford it and your budget isn't super tight, then it's a great idea. If you don't have to, then I would say just go with the forbearance and take that break from making the payments.
So what are the numbers for them then, Catherine?
two-thirds of their payment goes to interest. And by them making their still regular payment that they're accustomed to, because they're both working, all of that is going to the principal.
That's
so
like,
we're now talking about 10 months of payment that is all going to principal. So my daughter's going to be able to knock off, you know, I think I did the math, and she's knocking $6,000 off of her loan, which, you know, she might have only knocked off maybe $2,500.
Yeah, what an interesting point. I mean, if two-thirds of it was interest, then each full payment you're making now multiplied by three. It's like each payment is three payments.
Right.
Wow, Catherine, interesting point. Thank you for the call. Betsy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Betsy, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I've got kind of it's not COVID related, but my daughter was in a car accident, and she is in school right now, but she's struggling. She has a bad concussion. So we were thinking of taking her home next semester and then sending her back in the fall. Is there any way that we can not pay her school loans during that time, or do we have to start paying them back even if she's going to go back to school in the fall?
So there absolutely is a way. So if she is, if she's ill or she has to come home and she's not working, there are a couple of different options. One of them that I would suggest is to request her statutory forbearance. So if you think it's going to be 6 months or a year, they can just put the loans into forbearance. Interest does continue to accrue on the loans while you're in forbearance. Another good option is that we could calculate her income-driven payment plan at $0 per month because she has zero in income. So that's also a good option because then she's getting credit for payments under a payment plan, even though the payments are $0 per month. And that would be for an entire year.
Oh, okay. So that would last a year.
Right.
Okay. But she gets a part-time job, though. It's just her problem is she's got cognitive issues. Like if she's looking at a computer or she has to read, she gets terrible headaches.
I see.
And yeah, so, I mean, she probably could do a little part-time job, but that would probably not be possible,
correct? Is there such a thing as medical forbearance? I mean, can she have a part-time job?
She can have a part-time job, and I still, the payment would be incredibly low. I mean, we're talking, depending on how much she's making, could be 16 or 20 bucks a month. And again, then the other option, if that's too high, would be forbearance, which would be $0 per month. But I would recommend income-driven because it's going to be calculated on her income, 10% of her discretionary income. So you're talking a very, very low payment.
I'll right. tell you what. Keep listening, Betsy. I'm going to give an address and a phone number for you, okay?
Oh, great. Thank you
Thanks
so much.
Thanks for the phone call. You bet. Virginia, you had a question. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes. I just always wanted to know, when they talk about forgiving student loans, why don't they talk about making the interest rate for a student loan to be lower than what it is? I mean, you can get a home equity loan and pay next to nothing sometimes.
Yeah, like right now, like 3%.
I think that would actually be pretty complicated because the way it works is when you go to take out federal student loans, you sign a contract with the Department of Ed. It's a master promissory note, and it lists your contract rate of interest. And those are set by Congress. They're capped at a certain amount every year, and it's always changing. So depending on the year that you were borrowing, it might have been 6%. Then the next year, it might have been 4%. Then when you consolidated, the interest rate might be 5%, and they take an average of your interest rates. So I think it would be rather complicated unless they were just going to do a sweeping legislation where everybody who owes the Department of Ed is going to now have a 5% interest rate.
And
say.
So for some people that might be great, and for other people it might be marginally different.
Right, because some people have interest rates are at 2%.
What kind of rates? Good question, though. Thank you for the call, Virginia. What kind of numbers are we talking about? If you borrow for college from wherever, what should you be expected to pay?
Right now, I believe the interest rate for student loan borrowers themselves as the student is 4.35, and for parent plus loan borrowers, it is 5.35.
Can you prioritize for us who I should borrow from or who should borrow the money?
Yes. So the biggest take-home message for WGN listeners is do not take out private loans to finance your kids' educations or anybody's educations. In 99% of the situations that I see, there is no reason to ever take out a private loan. A private loan is like basically like a credit card debt. There's no flexibility. If you take out a federal loan, or if your child doesn't qualify for that much in federal student loans, the parents will qualify for federal parent plus loans. And the way the law applies, you will only have to pay back, in many cases, a small percentage or maybe half of what you borrowed over a long period of time.
borrow, the person borrowing should be the person that makes the least amount of money.
And that's the case, too. It should also be the person who's going to be making the least amount of money when the loans come due.
With the loan in that person's name.
Right, right.
Okay, Ray, your website is?
Financialrelief.com.
And what's the phone number?
312-294-8989.
Financialrelief.com. The phone number is there, too, if you need to follow up with more.
Oh, one other thing I just wanted to say is that we can help anybody all over the nation. You don't have to be in Illinois.
Oh, no kidding. You
right.
can practice Arizona, California,
right,
whatever?
Right, because the federal student loans, we can help you out if you have federal loans anywhere.
That's Ray Kaplan, financialrelief.com. Thanks for coming in, Ray.
Yeah, always.
1128. This is WGN.